John Morosi is waiting on us right now, taking some time out to join us and talk some baseball. Good morning, John.
PK could win the Norris again, couldn't he, guys?
I just knew he was going to lead with that.
He couldn't have played worse in his own end Saturday, but sure, we'll go along with that principle. Sure, we will.
as you guys mentioned, that trade is going to give even baseball journalists plenty of material to debate for years.
It's not Josh Donaldson for Kendall Graveman and a couple other guys, but still, John.
Well, the Donaldson trade worked out a little bit better for the Canadian team involved, I would say, in comparison to the PK deal.
Yu Darvish gets his money, John, as I thought he would. You know, it was a bad look in the World Series, and some people thought that it wouldn't happen, that they'd look away from that. Is it possible that some people have said that that is easily correctable, that he was actually tipping his pitches, and he pitched his great game against the Chicago Cubs, that they may already know what the problem was and they can fix that in a snap of a finger?
That's a great point, Elliot. And listen, the stuff for Darvish never seemed to be in doubt, even in October. It was just a matter of the hittability and the predictability of it, and even pitch tipping was an issue for him going back to the middle part of the season. So if we believe that the Astros had his pitches, and that was why he struggled so much in the World Series, then $126 million over 6 years starts to make more sense. And the Cubs are a team that they've got a lot of analytical firepower behind them, and I'm sure that they're going to sit down with him and talk about ways to improve and become less predictable in that regard. Although, I guess as a quick parenthetical, the Dodgers are pretty good in that area as well. So I am still surprised that the problem for Darvish went on as long as it did with the Dodgers, because if there was a solution for them to find, I suspect they would have arrived at it and given them that information, because the Dodgers have a very robust front office, obviously, in so many ways. So I think in general, Elliot, I'll make this point too, that 6-for-126 is better than I thought he would get coming off the World Series, at least in the number of years. And the reason for that is you look around at the overall term that's been given out of contracts this wintertime. They've generally been shorter deals. And I had been hearing as recently as a week or so ago that the Cubs were comfortable on a four-year deal with probably a higher AAV to sort of protect their long-term risk a little bit, but eventually they got to six. And so that tells me a lot about the market. And you look at players that have already signed: Darvish, very healthy contract in my estimation. Lorenzo Cain, very healthy contract as well. Players are getting signed, just not many Scott Boras clients.
John Morosi, our guest, Brady and Price, 7:18 on the Yu Darvish signing. $126 million, if he missed it on the weekend, to the Chicago Cubs over 6 years. That'll take him until he's 36. It is still possible. It's very possible that we've seen the best he has to offer. He had a bit of a year of adjustment when he first came over in 12, when he was 25, and then he had two great years, and obviously arm problems since then, missing all of 15. Is there this contract takes him until he's 36? There's a lot of tread on the tires, and not just that, John, but he didn't have a lot of you don't have to endure a lot in terms of the on the body in the Japanese league like you do in 162 game Major League Baseball season, let alone the travel. Could we have seen his best baseball already?
I think so. I think we have, but I also believe that this is probably, if you want to find that multiple time All-Star, which he is a four-time All-Star, he has been finishing as high as second in the Cy Young voting. Even if he's 90% of what he was, I think he has a chance to give the Cubs what they would believe to be relatively fair value in this contract. They also had to find a way to just get better, and they had to find a way to add to this rotation. They're losing Arrieta. Of course, now that's apparent he's going to be signing elsewhere. But this is a rotation that they've now added Jose Quintana since the start of last season. They're getting closer to being, I think, the rotation they were in 2016 when they won the World Series. So while... is this an ideal investment? Perhaps not. It is one that I think is somewhat prudent given the market conditions and given the Cubs' overall need for pitching. They had to make one more big move, and frankly, Darvish is I think at least as reliable in totality as the other available options to them there on the free agent market.
Yeah, but I guess if you asked, okay, who doesn't need pitching? Nobody's raising their arm, okay? Blue Jays, of course, we heard kick tires on Darvish. They're not going to get him now. Now we're hearing the possibility that of Andrew Cashner, who doesn't seem to be throwing as hard as he used to. We're talking this morning about Joe Biagini. He's the guy that, if nothing happens, he's ticketed for the fifth starting spot, and they're talking to other people. This has to be making him crazy, right? I mean, does he not know just going into spring training? And couldn't this change during spring training as well if they were to sign someone later on?
It's a good point, Elliot. And what I'd say on that is this. The way that spring training works is you'll have usually 7 to 8, depending on the club, pitchers who are stretched out. And what that means is they'll get enough innings in spring training games to be a starter, or at least to be looked upon as a starting option when spring training ends. And that decision in terms of breaking guys off of that routine usually happens somewhere around the first part of March, and maybe March the 10th, the 15th, somewhere in that range. So they've got time. And I think Biagini, even if they sign Cashner today, or if they sign Chris Tillman today, who they've also talked to, Biagini is still going to get stretched out because he's their sixth starter. And if he moves the bullpen, it's likely going to be in something of a longer relief role anyhow. So they'll still be getting him starters innings, so to speak, up and until probably the middle part of March. So they've got some time with this. It's a good observation, though, that obviously this is all happening in real time. And Biagini, I'm sure, doesn't love the uncertainty that goes along with this, but he's probably going to have to deal with it for the next little bit. And I would say as well, the list of pitchers the Jays are looking at is rather long, to the point that I would be surprised if the Jays do not add at least one more starting pitching option between now and opening day. It may not be a big ticket, big name item, but they'll do something because the sheer volume of options is out there, and they need one, frankly. I think that they need a bit more insurance because it's not just replacing Joe Biagini in the fifth spot. It's acknowledging that how many innings do you truly expect from Aaron Sanchez this year? And Estrada even has had times with his back that's been an issue. So I think you have to give yourself some insurance. The Jays need to find a way to add somebody. And from what I'm told, Elliot, they're very much focused on short-term contracts with pitchers, just as they were with getting Curtis Granderson for the outfield.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. We got about a minute, I think to localize it more for Jays fans, I think there's a relief that Darvish goes to the NL and he doesn't go to a team like the Twins, where he doesn't go to a team like the Angels. Do you think either of those teams, I don't think either can feel great about their starting pitching? You love where they're at position player wise, and they're younger teams and faster teams than the Jays, but I don't think they love their rotations. Minnesota obviously doesn't, if they were that in on Darvish to offer him 5 years.
Very well said, Greg. And remember, with the Twins, they just had the injury this past week with Irvin Santana. Is going to miss 10 to 12 weeks or so with the finger injury that required surgery. So the Twins now, I would say to watch very closely the Twins and the Brewers in the next coming days. Alex Cobb, Lance Lynn, Arrieta, I think one of those names could potentially go to each of those spots, and then there's still one more out there. But and the Angels as well, as a very good point that you make. You have to acknowledge, too, Ohtani coming over year one, some uncertainty there, how he's going to handle things. And they had a real committee approach last year to begin with the way that Parker Bridwell pitched for them. And Richards, of course, a bit of a health risk as well. So I'm with you. I've thought for a long time the Angels probably should find a way to get one more starting pitcher between now and opening day.
John Morosi, thank you so much. Insider MLB Network and Fox Sports. Going to be fun. Baseball's just around the corner, sir.
It is. And again, thank you for indulging my brief hockey sort of diversion. And congratulations to Canada on gold in the team figure skating.
Thank you.
I want to show respect there to you guys.
We feel respected.
Now we do. We didn't previously, yeah. But now that you have acknowledged, we are feeling so much better about ourselves.
Yeah. Well, maybe not that good.
Is he okay? That's like maniacal laughter. I'm concerned.